just to recap, especially because last night a lot of us were not here. So essentially, what I wanted to share with you tonight is a very interesting piece, very useful in a lot of ways, but it's also relevant to a topic that comes up all the time in the contemporary context, but it also happens to flow directly from a few other things we've been talking about. And essentially, it's about the issue of, is it acceptable for a husband to say that I'm going to give the get, so don't beat me up, don't have any issues with me, but I'm going to insist on some conditions. So how does that factor in? So as you'll see discussed here, there is a Tshuvas Maharshdam, which Yashiv has a tshuva about, a few others have a tshuva about, which seems to say that's acceptable. And in this article, it's written by Rav Shmuel Landesman, who is a very prominent dayan in Muncie. So he tries to understand what that position is about and to figure out exactly what it applies to and what it doesn't apply to. And in the context of that, he goes through a few theories as to why kfiyah is ever used by a get. This idea that the Maharshdam has that kfiyah should not be employed if the husband says, I'm ready, just I want to insist on some conditions, that apparently is enough of a yes answer to say you have no right to impose force on him. So in the context of explaining that, he goes through a number of theories as to what it is about, which are all interesting, even though he ends up rejecting a lot of them, but it's all interesting discussion. Should also mention, and then we'll start with this, is that last night, those of us who were here, so we read a very, very, very important tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is very interesting to contrast with this. It's not so obvious, but if you think about it, it's really the polar opposite of seemingly what the Maharshdam says, that Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, a major svara, major chiddush, which, if you accept it, would really allow for force in pretty much all of the situations that we're dealing with today. We've mentioned already a couple of positions that would have got you there, maybe, that the Rambam's position about Mois Alai, as we mentioned, that if Mois Alai is subjective enough to cover everything, which is an arguable point, but if it is, then that theoretically could be invoked in every contentious divorce and would justify kfiyah. We've mentioned also the possibility that kfiyah could be employed in any situation where the husband and wife are no longer living together. Not necessarily a majority view, but a view that has some support. So that also would seemingly apply to every contentious divorce that's out there and allow kfiyah. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a third perspective, which, if you sign on to it, would also have that impact, although it's not clear that Rav Moshe himself signed on to it. Rav Moshe, at the end of the tshuva, says that even though he thinks it's a strong svara, but he's not sure if he would rely on it by himself, and he would require that there be other factors involved that would be part of the picture also. So any of these points, if they were actually convincing and strong enough, would mean that we wouldn't have to worry, for example, about the get law if the get law is not acceptable because it's a form of kfiyah. We wouldn't have to worry about that. We wouldn't have to worry about whether we have any issues or not with the prenup. As we mentioned, we recommend the prenup, but even if you felt the prenup was kfiyah, so then you wouldn't have to worry about that. You wouldn't have to worry about a lot of things if you assume that kfiyah is justified. So Rav Moshe's svara was a fascinating svara, that he said that he thinks, basically, that when is it that you can't force a man to divorce his wife? When is it that we only accept a divorce that was done willingly? That's true if the husband wants to keep living with his wife. So he says that, how could you take my wife away from me? I want to stay married to her. So to force him to give her up, so that is an illegitimate approach. But, said Rav Moshe, if he doesn't have any interest in living with her anymore, that he is clear in his mind that he's not interested in her, Or even if he is interested in her, but it's already clear to him that she's not interested in him. So he knows that there's no hope, there's no possibility of marital bliss anymore. So then the assumption is that he's ready to actually divorce her. So if his only issue is he wants to throw in some conditions, which he feels he has leverage to do, then, says Reb Moshe, that's not considered to be a unwilling get, because he's willing to do the gerushin itself. He's just not willing to do the next step of actually issuing the get. So Reb Moshe thought it was possible to say that then, if that was forced, if the get was forced either by a bezin or even by a civil court, that would be acceptable because the actual act of gerushin he's ready to do, he's just not ready to give the get. So we mentioned last night that it's interesting because it's the flip side of a svara that we saw from Rav Zalman Nechemia. And it's maybe the opposite of this marshdam, the svara that we saw from Rav Zalman Nechemia, who said, why was he machmir that when somebody commits himself earlier to an agreement which would make him give a get now, and now he's not really willing, but he's only being forced by himself, by his own pre-commitment, don't we consider that to be your ratzon? So said Reb Zalman Nechemia, yeah, means that it's his ratzon as far as giving the get, but that the get should have its effect, the effect of the gerushin, that he doesn't want. So therefore, it's still a legitimate, from that perspective, a unique issue that is relevant specifically to get. So Reb Zalman Nechemia's point basically is that when we look at ratzon for a get, we're looking at it specifically that you want the gerushin to happen, and you're not focusing on the giving of the get. So therefore, even though he committed to give the get, that doesn't help us with a problem that he's not interested in the divorce. So Reb Moshe essentially is taking that same svara, flipping it around, and saying that if he is interested in divorce, even if he's not interested in giving the get, so that's called ratzon, and therefore we don't have to worry about any force being exerted upon him. So far, so good? Make sense? So it's interesting to note that it seems on the surface that this is the opposite of the Maharshtam, because the Maharshtam is basically saying that you can't be kofahim if he's willing to do the get, he's willing to give the get, just he wants conditions, that's called willing. So Reb Moshe apparently would say the opposite, that the fact that he's willing to give the get with conditions means that he's accepted the idea of the divorce, he's just now leveraging the get, and therefore now we can force him. So essentially it seems like it's the opposite conclusion. So Rav Landesman's article, which we'll see now, again, I just sent a copy of it to Morty, if you're able to be emailed by him. So we'll see how he discusses this question. He basically works to try to work within the Maharshtam. You know, one could argue whether or not one should accept the Maharshtam in the first place, but you know, especially if we're right, we just said that Rav Moshe didn't accept it based on the equation we just said. But one could also say that, but the position that Rav Landesman takes here in this article is to work within the Maharshtam and to try to understand it and to limit it. And he says some fascinating things. Okay, so to start, says Bal Hachayv Medina Lo Seis Get Umuchan Leti Lesito Rak B'Tnai Shivo Yolodav L'Mkomo. So the husband who is ready to give the get, and he's prepared to give it only on condition that the children should come to where he is. And the Bezdin will then adjudicate regarding who gets to hold on to them. So he says, I'm willing to give the get under this condition. Can we force him and say, no, you have to give the get without any conditions? One other fascinating thing about this article, just to keep your eyes out for, is you'll see that the distinction of what should be subject to an acceptable condition and what is not considered to be an acceptable condition. You'll see the examples in this article. You could have thought it's the opposite way. They're very counterintuitive. That you could have thought that the conditions that come out as acceptable are exactly what's not acceptable, and the conditions that are considered not acceptable would have been more likely to be acceptable. So we'll talk about that also. Okay? So with that very lengthy introduction, let's take a look at what he says. He says, "Bedavra ha'isha ha'nimtzeis kan." The woman is found here. So he's in America. He's from Muncie. "U'bayla beretz Yisrael," and her husband is in Israel. "Sha'al yedei murshah tovas get mi'bayla bebezdin sham." that she asked for a get from her husband in the bezin over there. Abba betaina shemigiel a get mimenu afilu al yidei kfiya. And she comes with a claim that she deserves a get, and even if it has to be forced out of him. Habal maskim lahashin get bebezin. The husband is ready. He agrees to give a get through a third party in bezin, to put one in escrow. Betnai shekodim she natein la, and the condition, will give it now. This is something that happens all the time in the helpless kitten, that somebody will give it in escrow and to be given to the wife later. So he's willing to give the get to another party on the condition that before that person gives the get to his wife, she should give back the children, and there'll be a din Torah about who gets to raise them. He also maintains that even if in our case there's a logic to compel a get, still, he agrees, since he agrees to give the get, that he's going to do it as soon as she brings back the kids and agrees to this din Torah. If that's true, based on the conclusion of the Maharshtam, we don't force, we don't compel when the husband is ready to divorce. It's just that he's putting on a condition that it's possible for the woman to fulfill, as opposed to, let's say, something that would be impossible. So then, okay, so that's the same thing as saying no. But a condition that's possible, so apparently that seems to be legitimate. So Isha To'enes, she efshel l'achzer kevin darkos tisham, b'tlunas baila. She cannot, the woman claims that she cannot bring back the kids because the court's over there, and because of the complaint to the husband. Belisha kibbo lozeh hetter b'mbezdin, he went to the courts without a hetter b'mbezdin. Konsu osa b'schum momen godl ma'od, she'en b'yachol to l'shalim. They imposed a penalty on her that's at a very high rate that she's not able to pay. L'shloach aliyodim levad, move on, shidov she'afshur, she can't send the kids by herself, that's impossible, so she says she can't do it. Gambol inyan haknas, even without the penalty, efshel alachzer imoim, she still wouldn't be able to go back with them. Kevin Shabal Yanatzal Sadin Hamushach Lahasis Ulagoso Sam Negda Vagamla Natkim Mishmiras Mitzvos. She says that the husband's going to then do all kinds of things that are not right if she brings the kids over, including separating them from Kiyum HaMitzvos. Kiyalapo Vachamoso Chazu Hibachuva. She's religious, he's not, he's against it. So she has all kinds of reasons why she's not ready to submit the children to his influence. So if this is actually the case that the husband is one of those to whom we compel divorce, Nira Lafiona's Daiti, says Avilan, this one, it seems to me, the Ain Mamish Bitvarov, that there is no weight, there is no significance to his words. The Sorech Levar, Divre Hachazet Tnufa, Shahim Makorlam Ashtam, Shalem Bani Yasodo. So we have to explain the words of the source that the Marashtam is based on, which is from the Chazer Tnufa. How many of you ever heard of the Chazer Tnufa? So apparently he's the Rush. If you've heard of the Rush. But this is an unusual citation. So it says, Hinei Ayin Beis Yosef Shehevi Misefer Chazer Tnufa. And he explains here what that is. He Kitzer Tshuvas Laharash. Shegufon lo higiel yadeinu, that the tshuvas from the Rush, that we don't have the tshuvas themselves, but we have this summary of the tshuvas, v'nidfas pesof tshuvas chaim sha'al, it's printed in the back of the tshuvas chaim sha'al, which is a chida, it's much, much later, but somehow that's how it ended up. V'zalashono, this is what the Rush apparently writes. Demish anosin get le'ishto, someone's giving get to his wife, amanash lo telchi le'beis avila. And you say, I'll give you the get on condition that you don't go to your father's house. Da'afal pisha get kosher bat tnai kayim. Even though in such a circumstance the get is valid and the condition could be upheld. Ein l'shem adam l'shtadel beget she'itein b'tnai kazed. No one should make such a get. Ki ein safek shelo yiskayim tnai zed. Because it's inevitable that this condition will be violated. She's going to live the rest of her life and never go to her father's house. It's not shaykh. So it's going to turn out that the get will then be nullified because she broke the condition, and the children who come afterwards will be mamzer. Im hamagarish hazeh me'elu shekofen legarish v'lo rotze legarish rak b'tnai zeh ein shomelo v'kofen legarish b'lo t'nai zeh. So if the megarish is one who should be subject to coercion, and he doesn't want to accept under this condition, so then we don't listen to him, and we are kofa to divorce without it. So how would you interpret the impact of that statement? So what's he saying about our question? So can you compel somebody if he's willing to give the get, but only on a condition? Are you allowed to then force him? What do you say? How would you interpret that, Rush? It seems like on the surface the Rush is saying, yeah, you should compel him, right? That's like not a condition that should be upheld. And therefore, if he's coercible, coerce away, because this is not called somebody who's willing to do it, and he therefore has to be coerced. So why would you think that source that we just read, which talks about coercing somebody even though he's willing to do it conditionally, why would you think that's the source for the Ma'ash Dam saying the opposite? That you can't coerce someone who's willing to do it. Anyone see what the issue is? And it's a very nuanced point, right? What's the point?
It sounds like that. I mean, it sounds like you should actually. I mean, that's what he says. The Rosh says simply that ain't showing love before.
Right. So we should be kofa. Right. Seems like that's going to be the opposite of the Ma'ash Dam. Yeah. And yet, this is the source for the Ma'ash Dam. Why? So the Diei Kama'ash Dam, the Midukhasav Shtei Pa'amim Milas. Zeh, that he wrote twice the word this condition. Right? You see the line that Vlarotz Lagarish Rak Batnai Zeh, Ain Shomalo, the Kofan Lagarish below Tanai Zeh. So why he write like that? Vahaya Roy lift over Rak Bitanai. Ubuchisarun Milum Zeh. Why didn't you say the sentence from Larotz Rak Lagarish Rak Bitanai, Ain Shomalo, the Kofan Lagarish below Tanai? Why emphasize this Tanai? So you see that he holds that specifically a condition like this, that this condition, it's impossible that it's not going to be broken, so therefore we compel him to divorce without the condition. But if it was another condition which is theoretically accomplishable, right? Even though the husband doesn't deserve it, but it's a condition that is fulfillable. Right? That what was the condition that Ma'ash Dam was talking about? He wants to give a get on the condition she should not marry a specific other person. Right? So that is fulfillable if that's his condition. So then, ein kaifin, then we would not compel. And he writes here, "V'lansman v'yeshlus topic b'shitas amar shtam k'shabal rotsa lahatil tanai she'ena benakil l'kaimo." We have to figure out when the marshdam, what would the marshdam say according to his opinion, when the husband wants to put a condition that's not easy to fulfill, aval gam eino kemat min hanimna, but it's not impossible either. So, what exactly is the emphasis, that it's easy to do, or the emphasis that it's impossible on the other end of the spectrum? So what if it's in between? So the host of Ma'ash Dam, Shezahu Din Gomer, O Karav Ludin, Ve'afila Osam Shamar Chomishn Ksubis, Elish Koifin Osam Lahotzi, even that which you saw in our Mishnah Ksubis right back in the beginning of this whole story, that these are the ones who we compel to divorce, Lo Amru Ella Imeno Rotza Lagarish Klal. We only said that if he's not interested in divorcing at all. But if he's willing to do it, but he wants to put a condition, even though he doesn't deserve it, so we definitely would say that we're not going to be kofa. So very fascinating, right? Again, so many things are a little bit the opposite of what you think. So that rush, which seems to be saying something else, the Mashdam is going to use it to flip it around and say that that shows you that some conditions are acceptable. And the example of what's acceptable here, I think, is very counterintuitive. Because, let me ask before we go any further. All right, let's assume that we see where this is going to end up, right, that either you could take a position that rejects the Mashdam, as some do, but if you accept the Mashdam and yet you say that you can't make certain conditions, right, so you're going to have to make a distinction, right, and say certain conditions, yes, other conditions, no. So one possible distinction might be like he talks about what's possible and what's not possible. But let's assume we're not talking about impossible conditions. So what other distinctions could you think of? If you had to make a rule that, well, this kind of condition is okay, that kind of condition is not okay, what? Where would you draw the line? Now, what would you think is an example of a condition that's totally unacceptable?
Interrupts the normal course of her life.
Sorry?
Interrupts the normal course of her life.
Okay. That's definitely a fair suggestion, which a little bit is what the Rush was getting, right? Saying you can't go to your father's house, how's that going to be? So, but you're saying not just that that's possible or impossible, but just, you know, even if it was possible, it's too unnatural. Maybe. Morty?
You think that you're not... He's not allowed to make any conditions that relate directly to her after the get. Meaning, mm-hmm. The condition that Marsham talks about is that the condition that he allows is that she's not allowed to marry a specific get.
Right.
So that's like the most direct result of what the get should allow her to do.
Aha, uh-huh. Interesting. Okay, that's very well put. You're saying that that, therefore, is connected to the get specifically.
Right.
Because you get a get to be able to remarry, so to say that, oh, you can't remarry this guy, that is a part of the get process.
Right.
But to say you can't go to your father's house or go whatever, which doesn't have anything to do specifically with the divorce, that's not legitimate. All right, that's an interesting suggestion, so let's see how that matches up with some things that we'll see. He quotes here next at the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Gerushin, Sha'acha Shehitik Divrei Habeis Yosef V'Shem Sevechaza Atnufa. After the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Gerushin quotes the same Rush, but after that he writes, Hevi Shebeis Yosef Shem Berek Habayis Kashuv V'Shem Shuvas HaRashba. Quotes from the Rashba, D'chol Mi Shekofen Oso Legarish Min Hadin, whoever, if we can compel him to divorce legally, divorce based on the law, eino rishai lahasnos amanashlo tenasi l'ploni. That person is not allowed to condition that you shouldn't marry someone else, a specific other person. Va'ola mizeh, da'af l'fi havanas marshdam b'shiz arash, yesh b'dav v'zeh machlokas rishonim. So apparently, even focusing on this rush specifically, we see that there's a machlokas among the rishonim, whether to see it that way. That the Rashba said explicitly the opposite of the Marshdam's condition. So this is important background, that the Marshdam seems to not be consensus view among the Rishonim, and the Marshdam me'ezetam lo hebediv Rashba, for whatever reason Marshdam did not quote the Rashba, v'chal ofen echriya ki bi'uro b'div Rashba, and in any case, whether he quoted it or not, he decided that that's not pshat. And he said his own pshat, which took him in a different direction. The footnote here, he explains why he doesn't quote it, because he wrote here, Lai lo ro, some of the derivative of Kabayis, maybe he didn't see them. So the footnote here says, the Marashtam was Nifter Vishnas Shin Nun. He passed away in Shin Nun, so what was that? That was 420 years ago. But a Kabayis, Nifas Bessaloniki Shin Samachay, that was only published 15 years after he died. So apparently he has good reason not to quote it. And the Rashba Chelik Dalid Nifas Bessaloniki Tuf Kuf Samach Gimel. So that was published 200 years later than that. So you can understand why he didn't quote them. But in any event, that's the case. So he writes here, L'chora, Tvarim HaKadosh Merav Samigra. It seems that this is a very surprising position. Sharei bizeh shechazal manu tainis aisha shebeglal and kofin and haval garsha. That now, in the fact that Chazal listed different reasons, different complaints, that because of them we compel a husband to divorce. So that seems to establish that this is essentially a ben adam l'chavero structure. But they said that the wife can't be expected to live with this, so therefore we are going to impose a judgment. Hainu she p'sak din shel chayiv b'shar tvias im ha'mischayiv eino tzayis din yichom l'gofo l'kayim k'mo shkos v'chayishim mishpat. Right, so what about any other dispute between two people? Right, so if two people come to a Beis Din and they have a monetary dispute, and the Beis Din says that, okay, you have Reuven and Shimon, the Beis Din says that Reuven has to pay Shimon, so if Reuven refuses to pay Shimon, so then we would compel him. He has to pay up what the Beis Din has established. So it seems that the whole notion of kfiya by a get is establishing it in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaver. It was saying that this is essentially a psak of the Beis Din, like Reuven owing Shimon money, and therefore, just like Reuven, if he doesn't want to pay up, we'll force him to pay, so too, there's a psak of Beis Din that Reuven has to divorce Sarah, and if he doesn't, so we'll compel him. Seems like it's the same kind of thing. V'ilu beget, kavo shnei sugim, and when it comes to get, so they establish two different categories. One, yotze v'yitein ksuba. He has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Shepirusho shechayiv legarish. That tells us that he's obligated to divorce. U'be'im eino rotze, and if he doesn't want to, mutter l'krosa avaryana. Then we're allowed to call him an avaryan. But in those circumstances, which just says Yotzi, we don't actually physically compel him. And the only thing that we're going to be kof on are the monetary obligations that would go to the wife after gerushin, like the rivash and tashbes b'shem haramban. That's the first category. Second category, kofin ligarish, sheperusho shekofin mamish al haget b'chol mine kfi hashayachim. That tells us that we actually compel the get in any way that we can. Kigon osim shemana chazal mishnah, now like those that the Gemara listed in the Mishnah, ladask sas rishonim, and according to some rishonim, af mikrim acherim yichadim kamosim. Like we saw, that some of the Rishonim were willing to expand the list and some weren't, but there are certain things that qualify for kviya, and then we actually compel. Ha'olam is that. So what emerges from this, Sheshone get mishar dinim shben adam l'chaveru. That get seems to be different from other topics of ben adam l'chaveru, shehelu chazal darga begidre ha'kviya. That here, Chazal made levels as far as kfiya is concerned. Nimsa shebenidon shebezdin poskim get alide kfiya. What emerges is in a situation where the bezdin paskins there should be a coerced get. Aperish shehit zoydekes betanuseha. The explanation of that is that she is right in her claims. Kol kach ad sheroi lo rak lechayvo begerishin ela filo kofo kach. Apparently it means that when she's not just right, but mega right, when she's so right in her complaints, so then not only do we paskin that he has to be divorced, but we take it to the next step, and that we paskin that he can be compelled. And if that's true, since that's the halacha, heich shayich lomar shahabal hu bailam alzeh. So how could you say that in any event, if there is such a metzias, how could you say that the husband, this is a double language here, Shabal Hubailamoza, that the husband is the one in control? Here, different usage of the word Baal. That if that's the din, so how could it make sense that the husband can impose a condition? Just think about it yourself. B'tfias acheros sheyesh ben adam l'chaveru shenitan l'kofu b'psakten shel chayev. you have another monetary dispute between Reuven and Shimon. And it's such a case, like we described before, that Reuven could be compelled. He's chayiv. He can be compelled if he doesn't listen. I am nomar shehayotze chayiv b'din yehi tamid b'kochol la'akiv l'tzayis l'bezdin ha'yidei shiyatel ezeh t'nai al baldino. Could that make sense? Right, if you have a normal din Torah between people and one guy loses and he says, okay, I'll pay, but only if he also gives me lunch tomorrow, would we say he has the right to do that? Can you imagine that in any other area? Right, so how could it be that if in the divorce situation the husband has been ruled obligated to give the divorce ad kidei kach that the Beis Din says you can compel it, so why in this area should it be possible for the husband to stall that process by saying, oh, I'll do it on my terms? And you hear the question. It's a powerful question. So why should it be? So again, I think, you know, one might say it shouldn't be, and that's the end of the story. But if the Maharshtam does say what he says, which he does, but if Maharshtam is correct, so how do you get to that such a conclusion? So here's where he gives, we may not get to all them today, we may have to continue this tomorrow, and hopefully by tomorrow you can all have a copy, but he goes through a couple of possible models and mostly rejects them, but they're all interesting. Says, don't say that because Eishas Ish is such a severe issue, u'befrat l'shitas ha'nesivis, that especially the Nesivos HaMishpat's position that even nowadays that we don't have smuchim, so you're going to have a get meusa. The after Chachmei HaMishnah ba'atzma you smuchim v'chayu b'Eretz Yisrael. That even though the Chachmei HaMishnah they were smuchim and they lived in Eretz Yisrael, while Kfar Takvu Atzaris v'Yodur Shesbatal Asmicha b'Doris Abayim, they knew that the smicha was going to lose out, was going to fade away. So therefore, Chazal came to establish the halacha get aide kfiya kishiyesh eitza acheres levater lemegare shal eizet tanai shirotza. So therefore, Chazal were hesitant. Chazal were reluctant. Held themselves back to establish the halacha of get aide kfiya when there's any other way. In other words, because of the severity of Eishas Ish and the shakiness of the authority of the Kofim, so therefore Chazal were very unwilling to allow Kfiyah if there's any other way. So since essentially she's not going to be an Aguna because he's going to do it with the condition, so therefore they didn't want to allow Kfiyah in such a case. So says Rav Landesman, Zat Yafshar, don't say this. Right, talking about Chazal, they knew where the dins were, they knew what the dinim were, they knew what kind of issues they were dealing with. And therefore, that's not a valid approach. So let's get to the parentheses here. V'chasmi l'hazker shadavar shakavu bo halacha brura pikpaku heim atzman b'misea. Doesn't make sense to say that the Chachmei HaMesorah, that they, in a matter where the halacha is clear, they still didn't trust themselves enough in the truth of the matter that they would hold back from relying on themselves just because there's another option. Doesn't make sense. Lefim HaShekasu Sher Hamban Yivamis, to get Ma'usa Kedin B'zmanazah Habirak M'drabanin, that nowadays a get that is justifiably compelled is only valid midrabanan umoil mitam dafkin rabanan lekedushin, and the reason it works is because you combine it with the idea that the rabanan can also nullify marriages. Kol shekain tvei shloshayim lahalas ladash chazal pikvu hachlatas atzmo. All the more so, it doesn't make any sense to say that Chazal were hesitant to rely on themselves. So don't tell me that. Gam is another thing you shouldn't say. Gam ein lidchayk v'loimar. Don't force the answer to say demachmas chaymer isereishes beklalius, that because of the general issue of the severity of eishes ish, kavu chazal ba'atzmam shel psakdin shel kfiya yinatein rakem soy achron sheik sheim breira acheres, that because the whole matter in general is so severe that they made it a policy that kfiya should only be used as a last resort when there's no other option. Because if so, that's going to be an impossible matter to really assess. It's going to differ from one person to the next. How are you going to know that there's no other option? The parish does not, that in reality there's no other choice. Ella shoot, when he says that one condition wouldn't work, Ella shoot dov shakash mod amable, but it's just a matter that was very hard to stick to. Vim Kane, the Afshaloimer Shachazal Asmun Taluhu Visnehu, Vidavish Ainu Katsavar. It's hard to imagine Chazal would make such a din in such a variable situation when you wouldn't really know when and if to apply it. Sorry?
I don't understand that.
He's saying that you might think it's slightly different from this previous point. Right. The previous point was that basically he might say that we're not really confident that we have actual smuchim that can work, and since Eishes Ish is so chamer, so Chazal were reluctant to utilize it. He says that doesn't make sense. That was the previous point. At this point, he says maybe you might say a variation on that. That since Eishes Ish in general is so chamer, that maybe when Chazal allowed kfiya, they only allowed it if it's the absolute last resort. If there's no other way to save this woman from Eglin. So he says that doesn't make sense either, because every case is going to be different, and to establish what the actual last resort is, how do we know what exactly is going on with one guy or the next? So it doesn't seem to make sense that that's really the issue. So that's not the answer either. Right? See, basically what he's trying to explain is how should this condition get you out of kfiya? Right? If kfiya is justified, so then you shouldn't be able to push it away by making a condition. You should have to comply. So he's suggesting and rejecting answers that say, well, maybe kfiya is really something that we try not to do, and therefore if there's any other option, even if it's not a great option, we won't do the kfiya. So far, two approaches towards that answer he has rejected. V'oit. Dim Kane is Tarach Loimar Shahatam Shachme Mishneh Tira Lakof Lakofal Get Hu Rak Mishum Igun. So maybe we could say that the only reason Kfiya by Get was ever allowed is only because of Igun. Benimsa Shahim Nosnu Syag Al Heter Torah. And what emerges is that basically they made a fence around the Torah. Sharhei Mava Etzem Nitan Lakof Pakama Mikrim Humanha Torah. The idea that you can do kfiya in certain cases, that itself is min ha-Torah. Kamo shadarsha mechil tala pasuk, like the Medrash has a drasha, in the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim, v'yeila ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, these are the mishpatim that you shall place in front of them. Mikan amru get ha-ma'usa v'yisrael kasha. So that is the source of the derivation that the non-Jews can't do it, but the Jews can. Then if the Jews are going to force a get, it will be kosher. The kol shakla v'tariyah hanal emoil min ha'toyru hu rak bizmaneinu shein lan esmuchim. And the whole back and forth about whether it works nowadays min ha'toyru, that's only because we don't have smuchim. U'mashakas v'gmar k'subiz ayin zayim ra'alef pishlom r'viyasi d'rabban l'ngsani aperish einu mechuyav l'hotzi min ha'toyru k'mo shuvas rashi v'atzma k'fiyah chamad. Okay, we won't get into that. So you have to say the Torah allowed it across the board. That basically, if it's mutter min ha-Torah, if we derive it from a pasuk, so then you can't say it has some kind of limitation like this. That's not going to make sense. And for whatever reason, the rabbis came later and they said, we're only going to use this in a situation of igun. So the din min ha-Torah must have been absolute, and the rabbis then maybe would have said only in these situations are we going to use it. V'lefi zeh, based on this, tzrichim lomar shahaya l'maharshdam eze kabbalah shezo haisa kavanas ha-mishnah. The maharshdam had some kind of tradition that that's what the mishnah meant. Ki lomar shemaharshdam pirshu pirzos be kavanas ha-mishnah besvaras atzma hu tamu v'yoseh. So he's really doing somersaults to try to figure out this marshdam. He says you must have a tradition that that's what the, when the, that essentially when the Mishnah says here are the circumstances where your kofa get, so it must be that we should understand that really min haTorah you could be kofa get all the time. And the Chazal said only they limited it just to these cases. And the Marashdam, in applying it that way, he must have had some Masorah that that's true. Because to say that he came up with this on his own and relied on it, that's very, very hard to believe. The Kol Zeh Kashul Homo, all of this is hard to swallow. Shinachinami Shachach Miha Gemara Shadana B'divriham Mishnah Haisek Avanas HaMishnah Mekubelas Lahem Baal Peh Ish Mipi Ish. That, okay, the Chachamim of the Gemara who figured out the Mishnah, who analyzed it, so they had a tradition as to what the Mishnah meant that went from person to person, like the Rambam writes in his Avdama. V'shapir yadu l'farish kavanas kamishnayas mitam igun. So they knew to interpret certain Mishnayas as being focused on considerations of igun. Kamo b'Gemara and get in a few places. V'chein masinu t'kufatai ga'onim, and that's also what we found in the era of the Gaonim, Bifrat Rebbeinu Chananel, and especially for Rebbeinu Chananel, Shar Rishonim, his Batu Aleihem, Divreihem, Divrei Kabbalah, that the later Rishonim said about them, that their words are like Divrei Kabbalah, their words are as if they were received from Sinai. And he gives some armakomos to that expression. Ki hayu b'makom, uvet kufa krov alachrone chachmei ashas, because they were in a place and in a time period that was close to the chachmei ashas, so too in their yeshiva they receive certain things straight and direct tradition. Okay, another example here in the brackets. Masha'en came b'tkufas ha-rishonim l'matzino shechriyo b'halacha machmas is a kabbalah shal yadam, but already in the time of the Rishonim that's not how they decided halacha, based on some tradition. But kol she'en she'en lo'imar kein alamar jdam she'akvar b'tkufas ha-achronim. Right, so it's a very funny and it's kind of a roundabout approach. He's saying that this approach that we're trying to logically figure out what the Mashdam is getting at, that it can't be that it's his own svara because it's too much of a chiddush for him to rely on. So it must be he had a Masorah, but that's also not good enough because in the time of the Achronim, you're not paskening based on secret Masorahs. So this can't be the source either. Okay, the ain loymar, and you shouldn't say that when it comes to gerushin, there's a need for the husband to be willing, like the Rambam writes in Gerushin Al Beis, shenimtzah shamil mashakasim loysimtzah chayim beinav ubilado haget batal. Without that, the get's no good. Ratzon zeh nitzrach beget perusha ratzon gamer beyoseh. And this ratzon, which is needed, its explanation is full will. Sharei gam b'shar kinyanim yishtach ratzon. In general, we need ratzon. It gives some examples, etc., etc. V'rak v'oisim shomru chazal l'kofam harei b'shas maisim kofin es yitzram. And only in these cases where chazal said to compel, it means at that time they're forcing their yitzer until ad sheb'emes gomer b'daitim l'garish k'mo shekos of haramba. That until they therefore agree to do it willingly, as in the words of that famous Rambam. V'lachein chashashu chazal, and therefore chazal were concerned, shim habal luchon legarsha be'ezetnai, if the husband is willing to divorce on condition, v'ein anu menichim osam la'asleis keinu akayfin esay la'get, and we're not going to allow him to do this, but rather we're going to compel him on the get, afu eino gomer bedaito, so then he's not going to be willing. Ve'ein libo rotsa be'emes legarish ma'achashu hayamucham liten get al tnai kazeh. Then, in that condition, he's not really going to be willing because he's ready to give a get with a certain condition. Shehi yachal amar bo, which is fulfillable for her. So ze'eino, that's not true either. Dvo miboy ledasa rashba, because for sure, according to the opinion of the rashba, Vizudas Ravari Shainim, Sharots Lagarish and Nitchel, Kfiya Nigro Mikayach Mitzvah Shmoa Divrichachamim. That the Ratzon that comes from the Kfi is because of the mitzvah to listen to Chachamim. Vadai de Ainaf Gemina Bazamash Rotzal Hosef Nofa Mishalok, Shukavar Machuyev. Mikoach Haras and Lagarish Kfiyah, so it does no difference whether or not he feels that he wants to, but he wants to add something. Elafilu Dasat, so that's for sure, according to the Rishonim, we'll say it's based on the mitzvah that we talked about a few weeks ago. That should not be affected at all by the fact that he wants to make a condition. Elafilu Das Tosfos, even according to Tosfos that we saw also, Vitshuvas Harib and Harash, Shazen Nigra Mikayaf Hanacha. That if a person is mechuyev to do something, that itself creates a desire. And included in that is when the halacha requires him to divorce even through kfiyah. It's still not going to matter if he wants to add something. The kevan shedina hafi shetzarach legarish yedei mechuyev ozo. Since the halacha is that he knows that he has to give the get, and that's the chiyev. V'hatnai sherosu litlois bo haget einu magia lo medina. And this condition that he wants to impose is not something that's coming to him. Im kein hatnai einu nechshav klal. If so, the tanai doesn't count at all. Ki mechuyev legarish belado. Because he has to do it anyway. And therefore, when they compel him, so then there is Ratzon, and so far we don't have any satisfactory explanation of the Maharshtan. So God willing, we'll have to start with this tomorrow, where he will ultimately get to one. He has at least one more approach he's going to shoot down. I just find these Havamim very interesting, because they kind of work through the mechanics of what exactly Kriya is about, even though these rejected Havminas, and to take us ultimately to the point where we'll get some kind of working understanding. It's a fascinating discussion. So, Baruch Hashem, we will pick up with this tomorrow night, and again,